Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Symbol of Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos. I want to thank God for those of you who came back here physically, and for those of you who are watching us online virtually. We are truly thankful to see you here today, and we are truly thankful to see those of you who are tuning in with us online, watching us either via Facebook, on our Facebook church page, or on our YouTube church page. What a blessing it is to see a lot of you guys here today. And we hope and pray that you are edified by today's Sunday school as we are wrapping up the last two chapters of our Sunday school book, Fascinating Truths, written by Brother James W. Knox of Bible Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida. This new chapter that we're going to start is on page 167 in Fascinating Truths, 167, and pretty cool last chapters to talk about of some wonderful, fascinating truths found in the Bible, Bible teachings that are pretty unique, is the topic of dreams. Dreams. What about dreams? What does the Bible teach about dreams? What are they? How much should the believer rely or depend upon their dream as to interpret a message from God? So on and so forth. So many of us have had dreams, and many of us even today wonder if dreams are reliable as it pertains to revelation or as it pertains to those spiritual interactions that we like to perceive as from God. But I think not necessarily more along us on the independent Baptist side of the Christian camp. It's more along, again, our Pentecostal charismatic brethren who get overzealous for dreams, dreams, dreams. I had a dream about this. I had a dream about that. Therefore, God is going to. But ultimately, if it's not biblically founded, if it's not Bible-based, hence today we're going to see, beginning this new topic, how we can interpret dreams and obviously admonish others on their approach from a Bible-based perspective. So before we start, again, for the online crowd, you guys can see our announcements here. This is our Sunday school hour, and this is the material that we are going to consider as we continue. So before we continue, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray to be edified by spiritual truths today, and we pray to be challenged as well by the information we are going to read. And we pray that ultimately we might gain knowledge to please you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, dreams, page 167. Fascinating Truths, pretty awesome chapter in the book. Okay, so he starts off here by saying, the Bible is God's Word. How many of us agree with that statement? The Bible is God's Word. We believe that's God's Word, okay? It is not a religious textbook. It is not a book of rules and regulations for a certain group of people to follow and live by. It is certainly not a book written so men can debate and argue about its contents. The Bible is God's Word, and because it is God's Word, it gives us everything God would have us to know. Now, do you agree with that statement? How many of you guys believe that the Bible is sufficient for your spiritual growth and all things pertaining to God? Raise your hand. Okay, I agree. But I like how he's beginning with these simple statements, because when we start talking about dreams and all these extra visions that a lot of our brethren say they receive and believe in, it's not biblically founded, and it is supposed to be extra biblical knowledge that's not in Scripture, and that's why we, as the Bible-believing student of God's Word, we're going to approach this chapter with this belief that we believe the Bible is sufficient. Amen? As we search the pages of the Bible and we study them and we examine them and compare them one with another, we find that the Lord has addressed every single thing which will ever come up in the matter of a life of a man, woman, boy, or girl. That includes the matter of dreams. Now, I do not believe, Brother James says, there is anyone who has not had a dream or a nightmare. I know all of us have obviously had dreams or nightmares, as they say. I don't know what term you may use for it, but nearly all of us have had them in some form or another. And probably everyone has wondered why they have such things and what they mean. This is a great lure of the occult world, as Satan's ministers offer to man the idea that they can interpret their dreams for them. How many of you guys have heard of psychics or diviners, They say, tell me your dream and I will give you the interpretation thereof. Orange means this, blue means that, numbers mean this, and so on and so forth. Those guys are crazy. But we want to study what the Bible says about dreams, and I think you will find this very interesting. That's why I love Brother James, is because we're going to go to the scriptures and see what does the authority that is God's word teach about the thing so we can believe the truth. Amen? Now, first of all, let's go ahead and define dream. The word dream is defined as a succession of images or ideas present in the mind during sleep. So what is a dream? It is a succession of images or ideas present in the mind during sleep. There is also the, quote, daydream, as they say, which is a visionary fancy voluntarily indulged in while one is awake. How many guys said, oh, I was daydreaming, thinking about the girl I like or the boy I like and the teacher yelled at me? That's voluntary, fool. You're trying to daze off on something. Silly. We will not discuss the daydream here, only to say that since it is a voluntary matter, one can easily control it by keeping the mind stayed upon Jesus Christ. How about that? So now we're going to consider the first passage of scripture Brother James is going to go to help us understand the topic of dreams. And that's found in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 29. And we're going to go down here to verse number 8 through 9. Jeremiah chapter number 29, verse 8 through 9. If you have your book, it's at the bottom of page 167. Okay, so here's the first Bible stop in our study of dreams in the Bible. Jeremiah 29, verse 8 says, For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. Did you guys read that? What did the Lord say through the prophet Jeremiah? Don't hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. Your own dream, fool, in other words. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. How about that? So here we have God through an Old Testament prophet to his physical called out people, the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of Israel, and a stern warning that he is judging them because they are listening to false prophets who are telling them to trust in their what? Own dreams. How about that? Top of page 168. The Lord said to watch out for these people who run around saying, quote, I have a dream. And when it is something they just fancy in their mind or conjure up in their imagination, the purpose of our study is not to discuss those dreams which one causes to be dreamed, but to those that enter our mind unbidden while we are asleep. Brother James says that dreams come in three forms. The first, page 168, according to the Bible, the first form that he is going to talk about is God speaking to man. God speaking to man. So the first form of dreams from the Bible perspective of Brother James is that God speaks to man. And for this, we're going to consider the book of Job. The book of Job, and we're going to go to chapter number 33 in the book of Job to consider the first form. And I'm going to go down to verse 14, but those of you who have your book on page 168, you have the verse quoted. Dreams are one of the ways in which God speaks to man. Here we read it in verse number 14. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. So what is the first form that we identify from the Bible as it pertains to dreams? Is it God can speak to a man through a dream. God has chosen to speak to men in dreams because when a man is asleep, his pride and purposes are laid aside. That's pretty good. How about that? God can speak directly to the soul of a man in a dream because the man is not consciously fighting against the message. That's good too. A proud man will resist God when he is awake. How about that? How many of you guys remember that verse? The Lord resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. All right, all right. So the Lord sends him a message at a time when his resistance is down. And following, God spoke to several men this way. So now he's going to give us a few examples from the Bible when God speaks to a man in a dream. The first is Abimelech, back there in Genesis chapter 20. Abimelech had an intended purpose. He had his eye on a beautiful woman, and he meant to have her. We know this physical relation. So let's go to Genesis 20 for the online crowd. For those of you who have your book, you have the verse there. But we're going to go to verse number 3. And for those of you who are wondering, this is King Abimelech of Gerar in verse number 2. And this is Abraham's wife that he's referring to that was still good-looking, even at an older age. And we know he had a purpose. In verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the man which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." How about that? Go down to verse number 6. And God sent to him unto him in a dream. In a dream. Do we see that? So God spoke to Abimelech, warning him that the gal he had his eye on was Abram's wife. So that's the first biblical example of Brother James teaching that God speaks to man in dreams. Here we have Abimelech right there in the Bible. That's pretty clear. Second, Jacob. Jacob purposed to save his neck from the angry Esau, and he fled the latter in fear of his life. But God spoke to Jacob in a dream about the promised land that lay in his future. Now let's go to Genesis 28. Again, for those of you who are online, I'm going to go there for you. But in your book, we are on page 169. Genesis 28. Let me go down here to verse number 12. All right, so speaking of Jacob, verse 12, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." So what's the second biblical example of God speaking to a man in a dream? Jacob, and God confirming the promise he gave to Abraham to him. All right, page 169. The third example we see of God speaking to men in dreams is Laban. Laban. Genesis chapter number 31. Let's go there. And we're going to go down to verse number 24. Laban is the father of the girl that, if I'm not mistaken, it's Jacob working for. Amen. And here we have him being spoken to by God in a dream in verse number 24. The Bible says, God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, "Take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad." So Laban was after his son-in-law with the purpose of doing him harm, and therefore God warned him, right, in a dream by night. The fourth example we're going to study is Joseph. Joseph was connected with dreams in a number of ways. How many of you guys remember Joseph? He was known for interpreting dreams and so on. Joseph was connected with dreams in a number of ways. And in Genesis chapter 40, he had one wherein his father and mother bowed down unto him. And that started some real family trouble. Then in Genesis chapter 41, two of his fellow inmates had dreams which Joseph interpreted. And later, God spoke to Pharaoh in a night session, and Joseph was called upon to give the meaning. So that's the fourth example from the Bible of God speaking to men in dreams. Later on, our fifth example is about a fellow named Gideon in the book of Judges. God spoke to the fearful Gideon in a most unusual way. We're going to go to Judges chapter 7 for the online crowd, but for those of you who have your book, we're on page 169. Judges 7, and we're going to go to verse number 13. All right, so speaking of Gideon, here's what that Bible says. In Judges 7, the Lord sent Gideon to listen to another man talk about a dream. So verse 13. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. In verse 15, And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord had delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So what do we observe from that dream? I like how Brother James said it was pretty unusual, because rather than God speaking to Gideon personally in a light, who did he give the dream to? Another guy. And so when he goes into that place, he's hearing the dream being told another fellow, and the interpretation, and when somebody interprets the dream, what does Gideon do? Man, God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to thank you. So that's pretty unique there. All right, so fifth now, or sixth, I'm not sure the chronology, on the bottom of page 169, Jehovah spoke to Daniel in a dream. We know also Daniel was known as an interpreter of dreams. In the seventh chapter of the book that bears his name, the book of Daniel, Daniel is shown shocking truths about the future of nations. The prophet was used to God. The prophet was used to God speaking in such a way, for he had formerly interpreted dreams which the Lord gave to King Nebuchadnezzar. You guys remember that about the statue and so on and so forth? The most bizarre case, however, Brother James says, found in the Word of God and in context to the dreams that we're talking about, is found in 1 Kings chapter 3. So let's go there for the online crowd. But for those of you who have your books, you have it. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And what Brother James says is that this is a very bizarre case where Solomon actually converses with the Lord in a dream. In a dream. So let's read from verse number 5. 1 Kings 3, verse number 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, he's responding to God in a dream, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, and so on and so forth. And this conversation runs for 10 verses. Then we are told in verse number 10, I believe it is. Let's see here, verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Again, the Bible literally defines itself. It's very interesting to note that there are 20 dreams recorded in Scripture. There you go. So Brother James did the work for you. Feel free to sow a seed. 20 biblical dreams identified in our King James Bible. 14 of these are in the Old Testament, and 6 are in the New Testament. There you go. How about that? That's further Bible study. That's pretty cool. Now listen to me very carefully, Brother James says. There is not one record anywhere in the Bible of anyone being spoken to by God in a dream after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, did you know that? So what he just stated, either the Christian is going to study and be provoked, or you're going to listen to the charismatic Pentecostal movement of Sid Roth's supernatural YouTube channel and all this CBN spiritual garbage out there with people receiving dreams and visions. But what if the Bible's true? What if the Bible's right? What if a man studied the Scriptures and said, well, let's consider the matter? And Brother James just said, after the resurrection, there you go. Who was the last person in the Bible spoken to by God in a dream? Do you know? Well, let's go to Matthew 27. How about that? The Bible has the answers if we believe it and allow it to be our final authority, not our feelings or not our favorite megachurch contemporary pastor. Matthew 27, verse 19. Here's what that Bible says. As a matter of fact, let's go to verse number, So in verse number 17, we have the situation of the Jews, the Sanhedrin, delivering up Jesus Christ before Pontius Pilate. Remember, he is the governor placed there by the Gentiles, the Romans, to govern the land of Judea. And so now they're before his judgment seat. And so they gathered before Pilate and so on and so forth. Now go down to verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife, that's Pilate's wife, sent unto him, to Pilate, her husband, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Wow. So Brother James labored all the work for us, church. How about that? The last dream recorded in your New Testament was to a Gentile wife of Pilate who said, I've suffered a lot of bad things because of that just man right there. By the way, Jesus Christ declared just by the Gentile woman. That's a blessing. This is the last time in your Bible that you have any record of someone being spoken to by a dream. Now, Brother James is saying, he's not saying that God cannot speak to someone today in a dream. He certainly can. But if he chooses to do so. But I would be very careful about putting any weight or emphasis on a dream. Today we have God's word and will reveal to us in the pages of the Bible. By the way, that's a little nugget for a Sunday service today. We're going to talk about spiritual growth. We're going to take a break from our Romans. The men and women who heard from God in dreams were not so blessed. Every word you hear man speak, every image that comes across your mind, whether you're awake or you're asleep, you must bring that thought into captivity and surrender it to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Let's read that verse together. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5. So now if you are a born-again Christian, you're filled with the Spirit of God, you believe the Bible, and you still have dreams about this and that and all this, you Superman flying all around or whatever the case may be. Here's what that Bible tells you to do, whether it's a nighttime dream and you just wake up out of it, or you catch yourself dazing off at school or at work. Verse 5, casting down imaginations. Brother Q, can you turn on that projector, please? And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, the Bible says, into captivity every thought. What does it say there? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. So that's, before we finish off for today's lesson, I'm just going to, a little side nugget, preacher. That's your response, Christian, to your dream. You say, what does this mean, brother? Interpret the dream for me. I feel like the Lord is trying to speak to me concerning my finances, concerning my wife, concerning my... And there's nothing biblical about it. It's just you and your little emotions processing information, like I believe. That's my personal take. Ultimately, if there's something in there that's not glorifying, honoring the name of Christ as God and as Savior and the Holy Bible, it's all flesh. Just don't even worry about it. That's just dreams having dreams. You are supposed to take your thoughts captive to the obedience of the Word of God. Now, as we continue, finishing up the first section here, bottom of page 170, judge everything by what is written in the Word of God. I like that. Christian, you listening? You are supposed to judge everything by what saith the Lord. So before you call your favorite pastor friend or your Christian friend who you think knows more about the Bible than you are, you already have God's word, fool. You just got to go to that thing and say, whoa, what does he already say about this? That's the truth, not my feelings, not my dreams. You understand, church? You got to do that. If the dream does not match the Bible, ignore it. Couldn't get any clearer. If the dream does not match the Bible, you do not need it anyway. You already have the revelation in the scriptures. There is going to come a time when God will again speak to his people in dreams. Notice his people. This is going to come to pass in the tribulation time when all biblical indications lead us to believe the copies of the Bible will be precious and hard to come by. Let's go to Joel chapter 2. And by the way, I like how Brother James is expositing this portion of scripture because I was just thinking about this personally the other day. I talked to Brother Josh about this. And we both agree and believe on our Baptist sides of the camp that this portion of scripture that our charismatic Pentecostal brethren, and ironically my former pastor talking about this on his Facebook posts all the time, dreams, dreams in the end days, they go to right here. They go to Joel chapter 2, and here's what it says. And it shall come to pass afterward. So that means something before that, it's not. But now read, afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Are you listening, church? Which he did not do in Acts chapter 2. Because that's where the charismatic Christian is going to take you to, the Pentecostal preacher. They're going to say, well, look, Pentecost, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit fire, Holy Spirit baptism, and all this wrongly divided application. When you go to Acts chapter 2, notice that none of those things took place when Peter the apostle quoted the book of Job chapter number 22. Look at what he says in verse 16. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, and so on and so forth. We already reread it. I will show wonders, and so on and so forth. We know the wonders before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you guys catch that? When Peter preached at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, we're on page 171, he made reference to Joel chapter 2 and quoted these verses. But he did not make the mistake of saying that what was taking place that day was the fulfillment of these verses. Certainly, if you read the passage carefully and believe what God said, those things did not take place. But there is coming a time when dreams and visions will be very prominent in God's dealing with man, according to Joel chapter 2. The context of the remarks places them in the tribulation. So the first type of dream that we have in the Bible is God speaking to man because man's pride and purposes are laid aside. Well, that's a pretty good chapter to finish that's the first good section to start a new chapter of Fascinating Truths. But guys, for those of you who are my Bible students out there, very powerful that you guys understand this, because this is right now one of the big problems with the charismatic movement. And as they go to Acts 2, and on their statements of faith, they quote Acts 2, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit coming down, everybody talking and all this, and they say the dreams. But because they don't know how to rightly divide the word of God, when you go to Joel chapter 2, he's talking to Israel, and he's telling them in those days, before the Lord comes back, supernatural phenomena, the sun not giving its light, the moon being turned to blood, and so on. That did not happen in Acts 2. So what do we call that? There is a partial fulfillment for a spiritual purpose that the Lord did in Acts 2. But the full fulfillment is going to come to pass in those days right before the Lord returns for the second advent, which places that at the tribulation time frame. So for all of our charismatic brethren on YouTube and all these little silly videos, you see these folks. The most recent one that went viral is from this false pastoress, Paula White, how she's Raka Shaka Maka and all this crazy stuff, angels from Africa coming over here, and I don't know what she was talking about. But all the Christian world, oh, glory to God, yeah, oh, she's talking. No, where's that in the Bible? Where do you see a woman calling on angels from Africa to the United States to help with Uncle Trump winning the election? You don't see it in the Bible. You don't see anybody calling on an angel from China to come and help out our election process here in the United States in the modern 20th century. We don't see that. You understand? So we turn to the Bible because we believe it to be the authority. We look to the context, and then we ask ourselves, well, how do I approach the topic of dreams? Well, this is how he did it then. So then when you ask yourself if you're having a daydream or a dream at night, and you have visions and images, what did the Lord tell you to do in 2 Corinthians 10:5? Take those thoughts into captivity. I don't care if you're having a crazy dream about sexual immorality or some supernatural powers you want to have or some crazy stuff about shark creatures in the ocean and you're fighting, like all those silly stuff that you guys know what I'm talking about. You guys are going to take those thoughts into captivity. It's not a big deal. Shrug it off. You have the book. Amen? All right, great way to end our Sunday school. And we'll see you in about 15 minutes for our Sunday service. The Lord bless you.